Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Welcome all to another weekly show hosted by Household Stress, head of the household talk show. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good, sir.
Doing good.
Good.
I'm alive, man. I'm alive.
That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing.
Teach your child how to drive, come home.
Mm-hmm. And I know. I've been through that, man. The parallel parking and all that.
Gosh, we've been parking for two weeks straight.
Okay. Good news, man. Good news. Okay, tonight's topic, sex, lies, and marriage. Is there a liar in the house? The rules of the show are no profanity. And I think that's about it. I want to throw a question out there. Has anybody heard of the old bait and switch?
Yep.
Tactic most salespeople use? Maybe insurance companies, most professional salespeople use the old bait and switch. Has anybody been a victim of that? That they know of?
That we know of? No.
I mean, you know.
What are you talking about in stores?
Stores, you know, there's an ad, there's a sale, and you get there, and
you know,
that's not what you were told.
That's what Circuit City was famous for. They
Circuit
advertised
City, yeah.
A $49 DVD player, and, you know, yeah, we got that, but this is the one you really need.
Or like you see an ad for a car, and they got all colors, and you get there, and they got two colors, and they were like, well, we sold them all this morning.
Well, you know about that.
Yeah, I know about that.
when I was in the car business, they would advertise this car, blah 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 blah, and then they put a number, the car number, and you know you ain't getting that car. Car number 4567. You
that's
know,
right. That's
you,
right.
You go in there to get there. Oh, we just sold them. Let me show you this one.
Yeah, they show you the one that's gonna make them the most money.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me ask a question, though. You know, you meet somebody, they show you everything you want to see in a future spouse. They may like the sports that you like. They may want to go to the same places you hang out. They may be cool with your friends, your family, everything. They paint this picture of this perfect spouse for you. I mean, sexually, romantically, everything. You're like, I got to put the ring on this one. And then you do it, and then things change. And then one day you wake up and say, this is not the same person. Is that a lie?
Well, first of all, there's always the setup stage. I mean, you know, you're dating the representative, as we say. You know, there's always... And that's on both sides. I mean, you know, that's why when you start stepping out on your marriage, that's the old okie doke, because all you see is that side, because she comes, you know, you see her at work or you see her at her best, you don't see the real deal.
Sure.
You get up when she got her breath and knock you out of bed and she's farting in the room. Okay. You know what I mean? You ain't dealing with that stuff. You know, you seen the one that's all pretty and smelling good, and every time, you know, she sees you, she got everything, you know, going on from top to bottom, and that's the fake. That's the plastic.
Okay, so it is.
I guess that's a lie.
It's a lie. There's some untruth going on.
That's true, but we always want to put our best foot forward.
I understand that. I mean, but is it fair?
I mean, if somebody really knew everything about us, they wouldn't want to be around us.
You might be.
I mean, except you, Tony.
I'll still hang out with you.
That's right.
I mean, but at some idea, at some point, that kind of reminds me of a borderline bait and switch. Because, okay, you may not even like the things that I like, but you're going to do it because you have a sense of purpose. you have a goal that you want to achieve, and I happen to be in your plan. And then now that you've achieved that goal, you no longer have to do the things that made me think that you really like doing these things. I mean, doesn't that go on all the time in marriage? I would think. Just like you said,
I think it goes more on in the dating stage than in the marriage stage.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Dating stage going into marriage.
Yeah. There's nothing more irritating, though, when you're with somebody and they don't have a brain and everything that you say, what do you want to do? Whatever you want to do is fine with me. I don't care. Whatever you want to do is good. And you're like, that's got to be a red flag. Because you know that's
a red flag.
You know that's not true.
No.
Okay?
No.
You know, I want to know what you like. Well, I like what you like. Wait a minute.
Mm.
Whatever you like to hang out with the boys and watch football, that's fine with me. We can do that. You'd be like, wait a minute. That's not true.
Mm-hmm. And then you see the real side, and it's like you're seeing triples. It's like your head starts to spin around. Wait a minute. I thought everything was cool.
But I think? I think understanding that, I think it behests you to take your time and see somebody in different situations and to see them in stressful situations. When people are in stressful situations, the mask comes off. Okay? When they're in different situations and you take your time to see them, through a year or two of their life, you can only hold that facade up so long. And if you're looking for that, if you really are just looking for yourself and you start to think, well, you know what, everything I want to do, she likes. Something's not right with that. One of us isn't necessary.
Sure. Anybody else on that?
I think, conflict builds character.
Okay.
Like your brother said, you really, when things get tight, that's when you really see them for who they really are.
But doesn't that deception kind of create some resentment? I mean, is that even possible for you now that you've already jumped the broom and it's like, okay, wait a minute. Who are you? I mean, not to the point where it's like they did a complete metamorphosis, but certain things that attracted you to this person, now you don't see anymore.
I think if and that could happen to me if I was 22 years old.
Sure.
But, when I got married, when I got remarried at 40, whatever, 3, I was more realistic that these are, you're an individual and you have your wants, needs, desires, and got, and I'm not your whole life.
Gotcha.
But as a kid, you tend to be more self-centered. Or as an immature person, you could be 40 or 50 and still be self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's all about you and that's what you're looking for in a mate, and that person is a pleaser and they want to do that, I think the problem might lie inside of you instead of really digging down to find out who this person really is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the signs are going up and everything is about you and everything you want to do, they're just down with that. And it's just, I mean, you have to say to yourself, something's wrong with this picture. If you don't say that, then you're really selfish.
Okay. Okay, understood. Now I'm going to throw a question out there, and this is a really tricky question, and I don't know who's going to answer it, and maybe nobody will, but when we say what happened before our marriage doesn't really matter, is that the truth or a lie? And what I mean by that is what happened in our spouse's life before we got married doesn't really matter. I will say, well, yeah, that was before me. Doesn't matter. Is that the truth or a lie?
It's a lie because, it's going to come back in some way, shape, or form. Whether it be something in her childhood or something with a previous relationship. It's That's not a realistic statement, because if you don't address it and deal with it, it's going to come back in some way, shape, or form, and probably in a detrimental way since you didn't deal with it beforehand.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we all have a past.
Right.
And to say that, you know, what happened before us doesn't matter, and to not discuss it would be a problem. You know, I may not hold it against you, but you see, if you have those skeletons in the closet, you're going to be worried that a thigh bone is going to come sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a neck bone is going to stick out of that closet one of these days. And you're going to walk around with guilt and shame instead of dealing with it, putting it out there and saying, look, I was a hoe. You know what? My life was not cool, and this is what I was. You know what? Today, it's a different ballgame, but this is how I was. You know what I mean? And if you can't deal with that's what I was, I'm not that way now. Because if you try to toe that line, believe me, you know, that neck bone's going to stick out of the closet. And it's going to come back on you, and then it's going to be like, oh, who have I married? You weren't even honest with me.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, there are some issues that may make a person view their spouse different once that conversation is had. I'm thinking, like, you know, if your wife's college days, there's some information in there you may not want to know, but you might need to know.
I think it's better to be upfront and honest than to try to keep that stuff in the closet.
Okay.
I really think that that you need to be open and honest. You know, well, you know what? I was in jail. You know, this is what's happening. You know what I mean? And that kind of thing like that. Or the woman, you know what? I was raped. You know?
Yeah.
I was molested as a child. These are things that you need to, because if not, it's going to come up. There's no way you're going to have something serious in your life to happen. And it not come up, because you're going to be walking that line of carrying guilt and shame, and that's going to cause division in the marriage. It really, really will. That's just my opinion.
Hey, I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you, because, I mean, you know, there's no sense in waiting for the explosion to happen, or you hear through the grapevine certain things.
Yeah,
but
I'll tell you, one of the things for me to be able to be open and upfront and to tell my wife, you know what, I wasn't always a godly man.
Sure.
You know, and you know what, I had some hoish tendencies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but listen now. But can she tell you that?
And you know what? If you've ever heard my wife's testimony, she was able to open up to me about some things. And when she was, and I didn't crucify her for it, a love and a bond started to develop. Because she had done some things in her past that she wasn't proud of.
Okay.
And when she felt comfortable enough to open up to me, and I was able to love her anyway, it released something in her, so she didn't have to walk around like she was this sweet little nun. Hey, buddies, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't out there, you know, acting freaky by ourselves. It's got to be a female, and sooner or later, she's going to get married. I mean, unless you're freaking a tree or a monkey. I mean, there's got to be a woman involved. And sooner or later, that woman, if you didn't marry her, she's going to get off with somebody else and marry somebody. And if she's carrying that, you know, feeling guilty, feeling ashamed and this and that, and trying to keep that to herself, one day y'all going to be out on a dinner somewhere, and Long Dog Silver is going to be at the table next to you. And she already knows that she was with 10 dudes at once, or this one, that one, and the other one. And this dude doesn't know, and he's going to come up and say, hey. And she's going to turn stone-faced, and you're going to look at her and say, what? It's better to be up front, because it's going to happen. You don't live in a cave. You will run into these people in your life.
Sure, sure. But I mean, but it sounds good. But is that happening?
Well, it happened for me.
Sure, sure.
Okay,
I mean,
I explained to my wife, like I said, you know, I did some things that I'm not proud of. And like I said, this was, you know, I'm telling you about somebody who was, not somebody who is, but I want you to understand. And I think because me opening up like that allowed her to be opened up like that. And we were able to have those conversations and not crucify each other. I mean, hey, each of us guys want the pure, sweet, driven snow woman, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's the goal.
Is it?
Sure it is.
I mean, we're going to talk about that later on tonight, but the question is, really, is it?
Well,
okay.
we would like to think that, you know, that's the way it is. But the fact is, that ain't really what's happening out there.
No.
Okay, now, I'm not saying there aren't a few, okay? But, you know, I'm going to tell you that we live in a fallen world. And you know, what are we telling our daughters? We're telling our daughters to keep it locked up.
Yeah.
Don't give it up. What are we telling our sons? Boy, you better protect yourself when you hit it. How come we're not telling them to keep it locked up?
There you go.
You're right.
Okay. They got to be hitting it with somebody.
There you go.
They're hitting it with each other. Okay. So we're giving one advice to our daughters and one advice to our sons. We're telling our daughters, hey, these guys are dogs. All they're trying to do is get in your pants. Then you turn around to your son, look, I know you're going to get in that girl's pants. You better keep that thing covered. I mean, tell me that isn't a wacky message.
It is. It is wacky. It is wacky.
You'd be more proud of your son knocking it down, you know what I'm saying, than your daughter telling you that, you know, she gave it up. You'd be more mad at your daughter than you'd be your son.
Yep. Now imagine your son coming in and saying, Dad, I took out three girls last week.
That's my boy.
Now imagine
that's my boy.
Tell your daughter walking in, yeah, I screwed three dudes last week.
Wow.
They'd be like,
at the same
time. What did I raise? You know what I mean? If that isn't a double standard.
We
have got to raise our sons with those values because you know it's destructive. At the end of the day, you got to be okay with the man looking back at the mirror.
For sure.
Some things that I wasn't proud of. Okay, now,
sure.
Now I'm not going to blame it on the way I was raised. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. But still, we Christian men, we have a responsibility to raise our sons in that manner, to respect themselves, to respect their family, to respect the women that are on a date. You know,
that's the whole purpose of being a father, in my opinion.
That's
you know what I'm saying? When you have, if you are blessed with having a son or sons, you know, it's up to the father to make them better men than you.
That's
because
exactly.
Everything that you have learned. You can instill in bed in their minds, you know what I'm saying, for them to be more productive or be better, you know, better suited for the world, you know what I'm saying, than you was.
Well, and the bottom line with us guys, I mean, really, you know, I don't know, you know, some of y'all may have been virgins and been with that one woman and still with that, and that's great. But for the rest, the probably great majority of dudes on this call, okay. I mean, are you really happy that you went through all those different women? Has it really added to your life? Or if you had a choice, would you like to have done it differently? What do you have, you know, 10 years down the line after you done slept with however many notches you got on the wall?
A lot of memories.
Okay. All right, now, is that good or bad?
A lot of mine are good. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Okay.
Hey, but listen. It may not be good.
But one of the problems with that is now you get with the because you don't want to marry that.
No.
Okay, and now you get with your wife who may be, you know, a little less experienced. You're thinking, well, damn, it wasn't as good with you. See, you don't know it wasn't as good if you hadn't had, you know, such and such the sleaze bucket. Okay,
sure.
That said, no, I could take it all. You know what I mean? You know, and wherever you want to put it. Okay? And then, you know, you're not going to marry that because you're figuring everybody else is putting it somewhere. Grown folks radio here.
But listen. Just like you said, but those women get married too.
That's right.
Most times. And somebody has married that, what you
right.
just talked about.
That's right.
It could be somebody on this call that just don't know.
That's right.
They
That's
think
right.
they got a diamond in the rough. I mean, to them, it may be a diamond in the rough. But it just might have been through the market a few times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, indeed.
The market. I like
I'm
that.
Just saying. I was just saying. This is grown folks radio. We getting it in. You know, but we touched on something earlier about our fathers, us being dads and how we raise our children. But we talked earlier about how our fathers played a role in our married life, preparing us for marriage. And I think that there's some things that they left out, like the changes that happen after you get married. I could have used that information if my father told me what to look out for, how certain things that you expect to happen stop happening, and what you have to do to keep these things happening.
Did you hear the list this Sunday at church?
Hmm?
Did you hear the list this Sunday at church? What a woman wants in a man?
Mm-hmm.
That was so true. Because what we initially want, it changes. Because we change.
Yeah.
What we change.
Lord, please let him go out with a T-shirt that fits. When he said that, I was like, yes. When they get in the 40s, please let them get out of the house with a T-shirt that fits. That's what a woman wants.
Couch.
Wow.
Well, that changed from when she was 20, right? You got to have a hot body, a nice car, this and that, da-da-da-da-da-da, all these lists.
Yeah, I mean, but
put his in.
But those with sons, are we going that deep into it?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
That wasn't done with me.
It wasn't done with me either. And I grew up with my father the whole time.
That wasn't done with me. I had zero instruction from my father.
Zero. I didn't have any.
Zero.
And that's probably why I got into the mess that I did most of the time I was in the mess.
As a matter of fact, to me, sex was love. Okay.
Right on.
I mean, I got no instruction. So really the instruction I got was from my buddies and the TV.
Mm-hmm. And the TV.
Okay. And my buddies were like, you know, get as many as you can get. I mean, the goal is to get in the panties.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Dad never said, don't roll like that.
No. I never got the birds and the bees talk. I never got, this is what you're looking for. This is the kind of person you want to be. I got zero. When I say zero, zero. Not negative, not positive, zero, nothing.
Okay. Y'all just went right down my street today because I just, you know, Sharon showed me yesterday a book that I guess my boy was keeping down. He's 8, going to be 9 this year. But looks like he got a crush on a girl. He writing down, and, you know, I like this girl. And then one of the lines was like, I want to kiss her. I said, who? Here you go. And, you know, it's like, whoa, you know. So it's like, all right, we got to have that man-son talk this weekend and go over some things because, you know, we talked about some things before, but now he's really got like a crush on a girl. And I'm like, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
just get ready to get real serious if you know, we don't talk to them about it, you know, this weekend. Just let them know the ups and downs of this stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, that right there is bound to happen, and it's a great thing that, you know, you can be a part of that, because a lot of times you don't even know about it. It's just going on.
Yeah, you don't know.
Now, I got more instruction on females from my grandfather.
Okay.
And my grandfather was a dog. He used to bring us to Aunt Adelaide's house and Aunt So-and-so's house when we were out with him. And we didn't know he was tapping it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, my grandfather, he was the one that would always be a straight shooter, you know, and tell me what it was. My grandfather was going to make a man out of me. So he would sit me down from the age of 8 to 10, and we'd watch pornos together.
Wow.
That was my education into what love is.
Mm.
Now, I didn't know, you know, and you know, every 8-10-year-old boy, he's excited about that stuff. You know, either he's a faggot. You know, I mean, you show a little 10-year-old a picture of a naked girl, what's he going to do? Woo, yeah.
You
right?
That wind blowing and saluting everywhere.
That's right. I mean, y'all were 10-year-old boys. You know what I'm talking about. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the time we need to be talking to them. 8 years old, this is the time you start. Well, hey, you're going to have things happen in your body, but let me explain what this is. Let me show you what that is. Women are not sex objects. They're not to be treated this way, okay? Mm-hmm. You're to respect yourself and this woman and your family. This is how we're raising you. This is why.
Yeah, because that's painting a picture. Like just what you said, painted a picture of something that's not realistic.
It's not real.
It's not real.
Okay. And to me, that was the only, my father never spoke to me. The only education I got was my grandfather. And he looked at women as objects. And I didn't understand why my grandmother and grandfather had two separate bedrooms. Because he always had a girlfriend. And she wasn't having it. She didn't believe in divorce, but you ain't touching me.
Yep.
Now, I didn't understand it as a kid. That was just the way it was. She had her bedroom, he had his.
I mean, so, looking back on that, do you think that you were told something different because they didn't want you to know the truth? That it's really work. That you
I
can't
wasn't
have...
told anything. All right, my parents came up from a place of there were certain things you didn't talk about.
Okay.
Sex was one of them. Drugs was one of them. Okay, you know, those kind of things. I grew up kind of like, you know, kids were seen but not heard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, you just sit there, you don't say anything, all right? Or you get into the grown folks' business, you don't say anything.
Sure.
Okay, that was how I grew up, and it was just because of the way my parents were, you know, and my grandfather, he was cool. I loved hanging with him. You know, he and I were closer than me and my father were.
Yeah, I
and we lived there together, you know. So you know,
mine is a little close to yours. My parents have always been there, but you know, he's never really spoken. I mean, even to this day, no real marriage advice. You know what I mean? I had to see how he did it, how he rolled, and it
mm-hmm.
didn't really paint. Other than the fact that he hung in there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Even after I thought he shouldn't have that, you know, because at some point I thought that they should have got a divorce.
Your
but they didn't.
Father?
Exactly. But
mm-hmm.
but they didn't. And then, you know, because, you know, the infidelity right in front of me.
Right.
As a young boy, I didn't really know how to handle that, you know, but that's what he showed me. It was cool, you know, to have mommy at home and hang out with the next chick on the side. You know, that was the picture that I, you know, instead of sitting me down saying, okay, at some point saying what I've shown you was wrong.
So
I need to tell
you. Slinger.
Hmm?
You saw your gun slinger.
Yeah. I would be in the car and he'd be with his, you know, extra chick on the side, but, you know.
In the car.
One or two.
He had a chick in the car with you.
Yeah, exactly. And we'd be going wherever we go, you know, to whatever, to dinner or whatever, you know.
But, well, who would he tell you she was?
Oh, he would tell me. I mean, I would know her name. That's about as much as I would know. But at that point, you know, you put one and one together. She ain't mommy.
When did you start figuring it out?
I think I always knew, but I thought it was cool.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't, you know.
Now, I must have been dumb because I didn't know my grandfather was screwing these women.
Yeah.
And so I was out of the house. And I started putting two and two together. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
He would lock, they'd be going back in the bedroom, and we'd be out in her front room watching TV, me and my two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I didn't know they were bumping boots.
Yep, yep. And then you can flip it and talk about how much marriage conversation did you get from your mom?
Zero.
As a man. Because I didn't get that either.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So we were pretty much thrown out on an island. Okay, this is the biggest move you're going to make in your life, but we're not going to help you with it. We've already done it for years, but we're not going to help you with it.
That's the worst thing. And I'm telling you, y'all who have teenage kids, I see these parents that make statements, because my daughter's almost 20 now, so just went through this with her, where some of these parents will say things like, my daughter's not going to date until she's out of this house.
Yep,
okay?
Right.
You focus on your schoolwork. That's your job. You don't worry about boys. You don't date. You don't date till you're 18. You don't date till you're this. You know, and it is the biggest mistake, because you can't stop the attractions from happening. I mean, it's normal. It's natural. That's the way God made us. And either you're going to make your child a liar and not be able to talk to you, or you're going to put so much pressure on them, when they walk out of the house, they're going to break MF and wild.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but
they're going to be the freak
happens.
Of the week. Huh?
That always happens, especially with the preacher's daughter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Being sheltered all, well, daughter and son, for that matter, you know, sheltered all your life. So
that's exactly right.
The moment you go to college, the moment you get out the house after high school, you become
absolutely crazy.
They say that the hardest conversation to have with a child or a teenager is the initiation of a sex conversation. And I think that the marriage conversation is another hard thing to have, because they're not sure whether they're showing you a good example or a bad example, or they don't want to become a hypocrite. But I think in certain situations like that, the reason why they say you're not going to date till you get out of the house, because that's prolonging that conversation. That's the longer, you know, that gives them more time to not have that conversation with you.
But the sad part about it is they're having that conversation.
Outside.
They're just having it with their 16-year-old buddy. Okay.
Now, I think different, man. You know, they having the conversation by not saying a word. Because the children are looking at their parents like, this is what I got to look up to when I get married, or, you know what I'm saying, this, that, and the third. And especially for fathers who spoil their daughters rotten. That's what they expect out of a man. You know what I'm saying? Any boyfriend. They expect that boyfriend or that man or that fiance or her husband to be the exact same way her father was to her.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. As a matter of fact, I had dinner with my daughter tonight, and she and I, we have dates together all the time. And it's the neatest thing, because, I mean, I don't think a day goes by that she and I don't talk about marriage, sex, and all of it. I mean, we talk about everything.
And
everything. And you know, she talks to me more about it than she does her mom, because she wants to know how guys think.
That's smart.
We have a relationship where she realizes that men have a different language. And you know, and now the guys that try to talk to her, she knows what's coming out before they say it. And they're like, doggone, you hit to the game. She's like, yeah, my dad tells me. You ain't playing that. You know what I mean? And if you really got to establish that relationship, and you got a small, small window, especially with your daughters, you have a small, small window. And they are looking. I see the result of it for my daughter's friends who are, you know, now 20 and 21 years old, 19 years old. And the ones that daddy wasn't there, there's an empty spot in that little girl looking for that love, and she's looking for it in the wrong place because she's looking for the love that daddy was supposed to give her and didn't.
Let me ask you a question. How small is the window when we have to talk about that same conversation with our spouse?
I wouldn't say it's a small. You say it with your spouse or with your children?
Spouse.
Yeah.
Because we can sit down. Hear me out. We can sit down and tell our kids about, you know, what to look out for and how to treat a man and how a man should treat you and X, Y, Z. But how difficult is it to sit there and have the same conversation with our wives in reference to how to treat us and how we should treat them? Or do we just take it for granted that we both should know?
Well, shouldn't that be a conversation that you have before you get married?
Yep.
It should be.
It should be. But is it happening?
Well, I'll tell you where we see it, okay? You know, my wife and I, most of y'all know, you know, we're involved in the marriage ministry. We see it in the couples that come through our living room every week that have not had that conversation and do not know how they're supposed to honor and respect each other. And it causes terrible problems, you know, in the marriage because you haven't had it beforehand and you have no idea what marriage really is. So many people today are getting married and have no idea what marriage and what love really is. They think it is that woo-woo stage. They think that's love, that first, you know, 6-8 months of the woo-woo, they think that's love. All right? And that's just the fake out to get you, you know, to the point that you can start developing love. But they think that's love.
Mm-hmm. That's
all right, and that's what they get married to. And then they turn around and go, I fell out of love with you.
Okay, so let me ask this other thing. How important is it to know your spouse's past? Can something in your spouse's past be detrimental or helpful in your marriage?
It could be both. That's real, because a lot of things that people do, that's men and women alike, is that they try to hide away from their past. You know what I'm saying? Okay, sure. I can understand you if you change your ways and then you find somebody, but let that somebody know what you've been through. That's all about testimony right there. You understand what I'm saying? So if you don't tell them, and if something comes up, and it always does, if something comes up, and you don't know how to deal with it, and your spouse is looking at you like, you know what I'm saying, okay, why wasn't I informed about this before?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's very important to know somebody. It's almost like how women be talking about, you know, checking a man's credit report.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? It's the same thing.
Okay, so name something that could be beneficial in your wife's past. There's something that could be beneficial in your marriage right now that you found out in your wife's past.
Oh, brother, I'm not married. I'm just saying.
No, this is to anyone.
I'll tell you what. You know, for me is that my wife trusted me enough to open up and be bare, be open, be naked with me about who she is, who she was.
Okay.
Because that develops a trust and a bond that you just don't have if you're not honest. You see, if you tell somebody who you were and where you were and they want to leave you because of that, you saved yourself a lot of headache and a bunch of money.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's right.
If I tell you this is my past, this is who I was, this is where I was in my life, this is where I am now, and this is where I'm going, but this is where I was. And you go, you were that? I don't want to be with you. Okay?
There you go.
You say is, you know what, thank you very much. It was nice dating you the last 3 months, 6 months, whatever it was, until you got to the point where I could share these things with you. But thank you very much. I just saved myself a lot of money in the divorce court. Because at some point, you were going to find out about me, and you were going to leave anyway.
Well... Being as though this is grown folks radio, and we are grown folks. Let me flip that thing around. Is there something in your wife's previous love affair that had you known it may be productive in your marriage?
Like if she had AIDS?
No. Something positive in her last relationship with another man that if had you known, it may be helpful. You know, because we don't want to know about past relationships. We don't want to know what happened prior to us. But there's some information back there that may help us.
But, you know, when you say I want to know this and that, you know, you don't need to go, you know, let me hear the details. Well, he strapped my leg up here, and he did this, and he twisted like that. You don't need to know that.
Okay.
I don't think you need to know those kind of details.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
You know, those are kind of things. It's kind of like the dude that got caught up and had an affair, and his wife says, I don't want you anymore, blah, blah, blah. And she says, okay, well, I'm going to give you another chance, but tell me everything that happened. If this dude starts saying, well, let me tell you where I took her, and we did this, and she went down here, and she took that is not what you need to know.
Anybody else?
Okay. Those details, all you need to know is I messed up, and this is what happened,
okay. And
I shouldn't have done it. But you start going into the details about we went here, I did that, she touched me like this. You know what? She took the whole thing up in there. I mean, that is not opening
it up. That wants to know that, you know, there's something wrong with her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rodney.
Yeah, back to the question.
That's the talk.
You know, back to the question you said, you know, could it be productive? And I think that one thing that absolutely could be productive is, was she faithful in her previous relationship?
Okay.
You know, and, you know, I think that's key, you know, and, of course, you know, that relationship dissolved or whatever. But, you know, despite all that, I think primarily with their issues or their just amicable split or whatever, I think priority number one was she faithful?
And what if she wasn't?
But then again, that was before you, right?
That's right. What if she wasn't? Because you know what? I wasn't. I wasn't faithful. That doesn't mean I'm not today. What if she wasn't? Is that a deal breaker?
I think for men, I mean, that sticks in the back of a man's mind. I'm probably more than women. You know, they probably can get over it, but. That visual of, you know, another, you know, your wife being with another man.
Before you.
Never just get out of it. Yeah. So if you talk about the conversation or talk about what they used to do, you know, somewhere in an argument or something, you're going to kind of think back to visualizing what that, you know, what your spouse told you about that session that they had, that prior session, and it's going to mess you up. You ain't going to never be, you ain't going to be the same.
Why is it going to mess you up?
Because you won't be thinking about it.
What you mean? Man, there might be some information that you might need to know.
No, man.
And what I'm saying by that, that may be, and, you know, I know I sound crazy right now. I understand that. But there may be something there that you don't know about your woman that you might need to know. Something that says, okay, this is what I really like. You know, I think that we've all dated someone that wasn't marriage material, but there's something that they did that kept us calling that number.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's some trick that they performed that kept
us
calling that number.
Most of the time it was sex.
I'm talking sexually. There's something sexually that happened that made us keep going back, but they weren't marriage material, but they kept us going back. Now, what happens to those memories? Do we forget them?
Heck no.
Think about it. Everybody has that one. Man, I remember XYZ. She used to be able to do XYZ. And you ain't never met nobody since that can do that same XYZ, right or wrong.
However.
But guess what? That XYZ was a high point in your life. Because you kept going back.
That's right.
So isn't that good information for somebody else to know? Well, you know what? I really liked this XYZ. It really makes me get turned out or whatever case, however you want to say it. Isn't that good information?
Oh, it depends on who you're talking to.
You could be talking to your wife.
Yeah, but so you know your wife ain't gonna hear, don't want to hear that like that.
But guess what? It's communication. You're doing so. Okay, so basically what we do is we say, okay, we're in this marriage, and whatever we do together is basically what we do, and I gotta live with it. But I'm holding back information because there's something that I really want to do, but I don't know if she'll really want to do it. Or there's something that really turns me on, but I'm going to keep it here because I don't want, that might not be marriage stuff. And then 6 months to a year later, you're going out with somebody else trying to achieve that goal that's still in your memory.
I feel you. But see, like I said, all of this needs to be talked about before you go down, you know, jump the broom.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
These are all that's good reasons to teach our children that the right way to do it is this way, so you don't have to deal with all this baggage.
There you go. All right.
Because you don't have to worry about, Jesus, this woman twisted my toes up, because you ain't never had your toes twisted up.
Understood.
So you're right.
So you're right. I mean, you know, I think it's a fair question. I think that we, a lot of times, that we dance around our past and try to keep it in the past. But certain things from the past may help us in the future or in
that's
the present.
Right. Wait,
no,
I mean, anything,
I'm just under
that's
the impression
saying.
That...
Anything in your past will help you in your future if you learned your lesson
yeah.
from it.
But
yeah.
I think you need to get to a point where you can be naked with your spouse.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, open up about you and be able to say, this is where I have been. And if that runs that person from you, you need to have that before you, you know, ask that person to marry you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not even before you get married, before you ask that person to marry you, you got to know, is there something that this person's going to look at you and go, oh, no.
Right.
It'll save you a whole bunch of money in lawyer's fees.
Good words. Good words.
I don't know. You know, there. You may have a deal breaker. You may say, you know what, if you've ever cheated on somebody, I won't be with somebody like that. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think that if that's what you feel, and you feel that somebody that has cheated would cheat on you, and that's what's in your heart, then you know. Well, you know what? That's a person that, you know, chances are you're going to have to look a long time, because most people have had a girlfriend or stepped out or had a boyfriend or stepped out or had a, you know, I mean, that's a pretty high standard. Okay, you know, but I mean, if that's your standard, that's your standard. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just that you got to be able, the whole key is you got to be open enough to be able to have that talk, to be able to open up and say, this is who I really am. All right. Don't look at the facade of that I'm putting up that everybody needs that think that they think I am. You know, and I'm walking through the church with a nice suit and I'm walking around like I got it together. Let me tell you the real deal. Because you see what you really want to be able to do is somebody see all your warts and still love you anyway.
But, you know, but I'm not really talking about like a wart or something that, you know, something that may be a blemish.
I'm talking about your past, the things about
that
are funky.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, but
so
that you
were married and you done stepped out with the girl next door. That, you know, you were gunslinging and you had your woman in the bedroom and another woman out on the couch.
Yeah.
Okay. That you could say, this is who I was. These are the things I did. I'm not proud of them. But, you know, I'm going to tell you what. I'm not proud of some of the things I did. A lot of things I did I'm not proud of.
Okay.
Okay? You know, but when I talk about them, I'm talking about somebody who was and not somebody who is.
Sure.
And if God could change me, he could change anybody.
That's right.
I was out there, man. I mean, some of y'all, I understand y'all got that, you know, straight line. But you're talking to a dude that was crooked and still trying to figure out how not to be crooked.
So the question is, being from that background and having all these different exotic experiences, because that's what you have.
Right.
Right? How do you then curb that appetite and come into this one-dimensional thing called marriage and stay there without wandering or going back to that place in your mind?
Well,
you know, because you said you should be 100% open with your wife, where you should be able to talk to it. But sometimes that's a very difficult conversation to have, especially after you put her on a pedestal. This is the woman that I married. She's sitting up on this pedestal. So there's only but so much you're going to introduce her to. But the fact that you don't introduce her to these things that you really like may be detrimental to your marriage.
Well, when you say that, you know, I think that there need to be boundaries in every marriage. What is it? First of all, the Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. So if you want to swing from the rafters and come, you know, come and hit it that way, or put up the pole in the bedroom or whatever you want to do, hey, it's cool if both of you are okay with it. And what I think you need to have is there's boundaries. All of us have boundaries. Okay. I mean, if she says, "Hey, I got a new dildo. I want to jam you." Whoa, that's a boundary.
Damn.
And go,
damn.
So we all have boundaries that we can respect. Now, some of y'all might want to get jammed. I'm not saying it's, you know, that's your thing. I'm just saying that we all have a boundary. That, you know, I mean, there's some freaks out there. They'd be like, you know, I want to pee on you. Well, that's beyond my boundary, okay? You may have had an experience where you peed on a guy and you got off. That crosses my boundary, okay? So these are my boundaries. We can do anything inside these boundaries. What are your boundaries? And we can find ways to satisfy each other inside these boundaries. Now, if what you're looking for is a dude that you can piss on and crap on, you went the wrong one. Okay, you know, there's some people that want to be tied up and beaten, you know, and there's some people that want to tie you up and beat you. I mean, like, you ain't beating me. I hit you with the damn lamp, but you ain't beating me.
But see, this is what I'm saying though. This is all about
domination.
It's all about communication.
Wouldn't you like to know that up front? I mean,
yes.
If she was like,
but I mean,
I like to be a dominatrix and I like to beat my man.
You're right. You're right. But again,
what would you say?
Do what you do.
We don't want to know. We don't always want to know textbook, because textbook is
Tony,
the reason why 50% of the people are divorced, because this conversation doesn't happen.
Tony, if you were dating this woman and she said to you, you know, 3 months in, what I really like is to beat you. It's to tie you up and whip you.
Okay, but listen, that's a conversation to be had.
At
least
man,
I get something.
That comes out.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? That's a conversation to be had. You can't just discredit her if she says that to you. You can't say, nah, you know, you crazy. Okay, let's talk about it. And then you talk. You at least try to talk your way out of it, or whatever it is. You try it, or whatever you got to do. This is a marriage, right? So there's got to be compromise.
This is before you got married.
You said 3 months in dating, or 3 months in marriage?
No, 3 months. 3 months in the dating. She says, you know, I really like to beat my man.
Okay.
But I think there's obviously a million questions that we can ask before we get married. And those attributes might be good to know going in. But, you know, just like us, she's going to change over time, and maybe her thought of what turns her on changes as well, which I'm guessing it will.
Yeah.
Turns her on is going to change as well. So you're not always going to have that foreknowledge of whether or not I want to be with you because you're not doing this and you're not doing this. Where down the road, she changes her mind about all of that anyway.
Sure.
As well as we do. You know, we have our fantasies or whatever they develop from, whether it's something on TV, movies, or friends, or whatever the case is, and say, oh, okay, that sounds like that's pretty freaky. Let me try that. So I guess the real question is, since the majority of the guys on this phone is already married, you know, it's a moot point to say, you should have asked that question before you got in. Now that you're in, how do you deal with it?
Bingo. Now that you're in.
If she shows up, you know, with leathers and a whip, you got to say, all right, who you been with?
That right there is probably a fear
you
of not wanting to come forward and say what you really like. Because then they may say, well, where'd you get that from? I'm just now hearing about it.
That's right. You know what? You show up with whip and spikes, something's up.
You know, you got a brown paper bag, and you got, you know, a mask and a whip and some spikes. Okay. This is what I didn't tell you about, but this is what I really like.
Right. And that's an extreme. But, you know, I'm saying some things do change in terms of what you like, what you don't like kind of thing. And like I said, the other thing would be extreme is the whole, you know, the dildo and the jamming and all that stuff. That's probably extreme because if she wants to do that now, she probably always wanted to do something like that. But,
exactly.
I mean, the little subtle changes and things that are going on, I don't know if that's necessarily a question of, well, who have you been with? That could just be, you know, like there's plenty of things on TV, plenty of things
that
girlfriends talk about, you know, there's plenty of things you can read about, and, you know, things like that. But, you know, just I'm not saying she's watching porno to figure out, you know, different things to turn her on, but, you know, with the way society is today and information is passed around today, that's easy enough to see and witness.
Yeah,
but those
are
the conversations you need to have. And
but
like
I think the passion
with inside a marriage. You know, I mean, if both of you agree on it, hey, that's okay. You know, as long as it's not against what your core values say, okay.
Right.
You know, nothing wrong with it. I mean, you may like to get whipped. She might like to whip you. And if that's the way it works, you bark like a dog. Hey, it works for you. Works for her. Nothing wrong with it.
Well, let me just throw this out here. And I think I'm going to make a safe assumption. If there is something sexually that we like, that our wife doesn't know that we like. I think that we all, and I could be wrong, please tell me if you know. There's certain things that I think that we like sexually that isn't happening in our marriage.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That is not happening.
Right.
Now, what if it was flipped and we didn't know? That's just a question. What if it was flipped? We know for a fact that we feel that way. But what if they felt that way and we did not know about it?
But why would you tell your wife what you want?
Maybe you do. Maybe she's just not hearing you.
But maybe that's outside of her. I mean, you know what? Hey, you know that maybe that's outside of what she's comfortable with. But you need to have the conversation. Say, hey, this turns me off. And she says, but I'm not. That doesn't do it for me.
Sure, sure.
Okay. Okay, I can respect that. All right, because you know our marriage is more than just doing this. Okay.
Yeah, but come on.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say. All right. I mean, if that's something. Usually that stuff happens before the marriage because, you know, you get things before the marriage, and then when you get married, it just don't happen no more. I mean,
correct.
Guys don't have a problem saying, this is what I like, this is what I want, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you get married. Years and years down the line, you know, you may be getting it on birthdays, anniversaries, and maybe Christmas or something.
And Monday.
Why Monday?
I mean, but, and Andrew, you're 1,000% correct. You have to have that conversation in reference to the things that really push your buttons. But how do you get that information out of them if they're intentionally holding back? Because you may not, and some women believe that we're not mature enough to handle that. That's
you know,
why their girlfriends know, their sisters may know, but we may never know that thing that she's been holding back.
And you know why I think so? I think that because they know we want to marry the good girl.
Mm.
And they're scared if they tell us that they ain't that good girl, we may look at them different.
Mm. Wow.
Ding dong, the doorbell is ringing.
Okay, because you know what we say, hey, there's girls you date and there's girls you marry. Now, your wife might have been one of those girls that you dated or somebody else dated, and now she's ready to be married, and she's changed. That's
yeah.
what I mean.
And now this image.
That's right. Now she's the one, the good girl.
Now she's
but
the wife.
In the back of her mind, she's the freak of the week.
Now she's the wife and the baby's mama.
That's
but
right.
Now,
she's upside down on the pole, you know, with the other two.
But now look at it this way as well. Are you, for her to feel that way, are you creating an environment where she don't feel open enough to talk about it?
Somebody preaching and just don't know it. But look, he just said it. And that's what I'm thinking about. How do we make it to the point where they're comfortable in saying, you know, I do like anal sex. You know, you've never tried it because you never thought that I was, you know, but I do. And just to throw something out there, you'd never tried it because you just assumed that I didn't like it, but I do. How do you get them to just be comfortable enough to say something like that to you, being your wife, being your, you know, baby's mama and all that stuff?
That's a good question.
That's a real one.
Because, like, you know, like I said, I've had all the conversations, you know, and I know where the boundaries are. I mean, there have been some things that I, you know, I'm going to tell you, I've been there, and ain't much I haven't done.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the things I've done are over the boundaries that is acceptable in for my wife.
But,
and,
okay.
You know, You guys hear me talking about, you know, giving hints, buying knee pads, things like that. I mean, you know, I mean, I used to date a white girl. And,
okay.
Oh, what time is it? I can get graphic. Okay. I mean, there's a difference between somebody doing something because it's like, okay, I got to do this. They're like, okay, it's done. And then somebody that they at work thinking about it. Man, I can't wait to get in that car, and I mean, I'm going to tear that thing off of you. I'm going to suck it like a pork chop.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It's different, okay? And you can tell the difference between somebody that's doing it and somebody that's loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get too graphic?
No. Uh-uh. It's grown folks radio.
And you dating this girl that's doing it because she thinks you want her to do it, and you used to be with somebody that was loving it. And then you get married, and she don't even want to do that anymore.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because she was doing it, and she wasn't loving it.
That's right. Okay.
And that's
and
why
in the back
it
of
stopped.
Your mind, in the, that's right. In the back of your mind, you think, okay, I'm going to teach her to love it. But and that ain't going to happen because there's some of them that love it. Okay? And those are the ones that make your toes curl.
Exactly.
Okay? And the one that was doing it because she knew you wanted it, but she was putting the okie doke because she really didn't like that. And then you married her, and then that's going to stop.
That's going to stop.
That's going to stop.
Because she was doing it with a sense of purpose.
That's right.
I'm going to get that right.
That was the setup.
That leads us back to the first question. Is that a lie?
Damn right it's a lie. But, you know, it's the dude and the girl and opening the doors. Is married and stops opening the doors.
Yeah. I mean, because we're guilty of some stuff, too. It trust me, we're guilty of a lot.
Okay, it's the same thing. Okay.
Well, maybe that's where it boils down to.
That's right. You used to go shopping at the mall with her when you were dating.
No.
You used to go to those sappy movies when you were dating her.
No, Rodney.
Okay?
Rodney, I hear you. And I hear you talking, and I know you want to chime in on this one, but I'm not going to let you chime in on this one tonight. Because he just broke it down, and it's forever broke. He said they didn't like to do it, and then they was just doing it. They loved to do it, and they were just doing it. The difference is, see, you got no control over that. They ain't got nothing to do with you. It's what she liked to do versus what she loves to do. Right?
You know what I'm telling the truth.
He's telling the truth.
Anybody on the call
know
somebody?
That ain't no. You stop bringing the roses home. Now she don't love to do it no more. No.
Because that's in her DNA. Okay. Anybody on this phone been with somebody that loves it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right, Tony?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Talking about. They can't get enough. You got
to
push.
Can't
them
get
off
enough
of it.
You got to. You got to say, look, not right
girl,
now, please.
You be driving down the road, man. She be like, I'm on it. I be like, oh, you gonna make me crash this car? She said, oh, I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get it. You be like, oh Lord.
Teddy Pendergrass.
See,
it is what
back.
It is. It is what it is. But it's the truth.
When you got those memories, you go back.
You go back.
You know what I'm talking about, Tony?
Do I? I'm with you. When you are on the same street. You see what I'm saying?
Now,
on the same street.
Now, what do you got
going
on?
But.
Go ahead
but
with the butt.
On some level, if she did turn into the one with all your memories, you know, she did everything. She just brought back all those memories. Wouldn't that kind of scare you?
Why?
Really, it would be. I mean, because that's your wife. I mean, that's why you married her. You
okay.
Know, you know, you, I mean, hear me out.
Why did you marry her?
That's right. See, the one that's doing that, you know what she's coming with, and you didn't choose to marry it. She's coming with that, but there ain't much more behind that.
And that's my question. Is
sure.
That if your wife flips to that you didn't choose to marry, wouldn't that be, I mean, you say that's what you want. But that you might have some apprehension. You may not even know it.
I think it would be a shock at first, but you get used to it.
You get used to what? You might even like it.
Here's a question. Did anybody on here marry that?
No.
I think some wanted to or thought that they were, at least a glimpse of it.
True.
At least a glimpse. At least, I mean, okay, listen. You want the balance, right?
Right.
You want the freak in the bed and the mother and the wife and everything else. You want the whole package.
Right.
But at some point, you've got the package, the better half of the package. Oh, she's
That's
a great
right.
mom. She's a great wife. But...
And
that
she ain't looking at the next dude thinking, you know what, I'm gonna get in the car with him. See, when you got that freak, you know that she's a freak.
Yeah.
Okay. She ain't just your freak. She's a freak.
Yeah. Did anybody see that movie, Pretty Woman?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When she said to him, she said, I'm a guarantee. You won't have to have a rap game. I'm a guarantee. This is guaranteed. There's nothing else we need to talk about. You already know what's about to go down.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when marriage becomes not a guarantee, I think that we need to go back and revisit the guarantee moment. That's just what I'm saying. I could be wrong. Because at one particular time, it was a guarantee. Now, like I hear people say, yeah, it may be Mondays, it may be birthdays, it may be Father's Day.
This coming Monday.
This coming Monday. But it's not a guarantee.
Mm-hmm. It is not.
It's not a guarantee. And
that is 100%.
And then when you get what's rationed, right, because it's rationed, and I'm only saying it's rationed because that's what we talk about. We get on here and we talk about, okay, it's not what we really, really, really have become accustomed to. But it'll do because it's the right thing, I guess, for lack of a better word. But anyway, it's not even 100%. Am I right?
Yeah, well, you know, life changes you.
Sure.
I mean, you know, you guys on here that are 50 years old, you know, you ain't the same as you were when you were 17, 18.
Yeah. Yeah. Time, kids, timing.
You know, I mean, when
responsibilities,
when
all that plays in it, you know.
Yeah. But when you were 17, all you could think about was getting some snatch.
Yep.
if you're 50 and all you're thinking about is getting some snatch, something's wrong with you.
Nope.
I mean, if that's all you're looking for in life at 50 years old, you got some issues. Because, first of all, you ain't realizing it's not that difficult to get it.
No.
That you got to be so pressed that that's what all you ever think about. See, at 17, you know, these girls walk around thinking their stuff is gold.
Yeah.
Okay, and you got to do all kind of stuff to earn a little sniff. Okay, by the time you're 50 years old, 40, 50 years old, you have realized that it's not that difficult to get some.
No.
Okay, and by the time the women are that age range, they realize that every other woman got their stuff. And it ain't as gold as they think it was when they were 17. It ain't that difficult. Okay, and if you got your game going on, by the time you're 40, 50, you've been established, and you got more going on than they do. Okay, see, because at 17, 18, the girls got the power. By the time you're 40 to 50, the man's got the power. It's really hard for a 40 to 50 year old woman to get remarried.
Okay.
Okay. 40, 50 year old man, not a problem.
Anybody else? Good words. Good words. So if we go back to what you said in reference to, I mean, because I'm still a little unsure of the answer, is how we get that bit of information from them if they're harboring the same feelings that we are.
But you see, for me, it was never an issue because I always said what I like.
Sure.
Okay, and I think it's probably more of an issue for the women because I didn't care if you thought I was a freak. I told you I was a freak.
Yeah, I mean, you came in the door that way.
I came in the door. I was like, you don't know. I'm a freak. You know what I mean? I was straight up. I was like, I was a dog. You know, I did some things that it was bad. You know, now I'm gonna tell you, guys working on me, but down inside, I'm still that freak. You know what I mean?
I mean,
I didn't have to say. I didn't have to. It didn't have to make me look like I didn't want you to think I was a hoe. I was a hoe, and it. But for a man to be a hoe and a woman to be a hoe, we're looked at differently. A man's not a hoe, he's a player.
Okay.
Okay? I mean, if I got on here, you know, as an 18-year-old, said, hey, guys, you know what? I knocked out three chicks last week. You'd be like, you lying SOB. I'm serious, man. Really? Yeah. Oh, man, you the man. Now, if a woman got on here and said, yeah, guys, I screwed three guys last week. I'm going to get four this week. You'd be like, you nasty tramp. Am I lying? Okay.
Well,
so
you're not.
When we guys, it's a big deal for us guys to say, hey, I was a freak. But it's a difficult deal for a girl to say, I was a freak. I met a girl today. She was telling me about her cousin living with her. And she's 28 years old. You talk about this is exactly what we're talking about, okay? And she's in from California, been here since December. And she said she's sleeping on her couch and on the floor. I said, on your couch and on the floor? I said, what's she doing for a living? She said, nothing. I said, how can a 28 years old sleeping on your couch and sleeping on your floor? What's wrong with her? How come she's not working? She said, well, she got six or seven dudes, and she figures if they're getting it, they should be paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wow. Now, you know, one day she's going to be Mrs. So-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's a hoe.
But that goes back to the question that Paul asked earlier. Do you want to know that person's past? If you moved into town, you moved into town.
I'd want to
know. You don't.
I'd want to know. I mean, I don't know about y'all. I'd want to know. I want to know what I'm dealing with.
As dicey as it is, you would want to know.
I'd want to know.
Well,
I don't have to know all the details. I don't have to know, you know, he was doing this to me and he had me sideways and he was banging me in the butt. And I don't need to know all that. But I want to know, you know, this is where I was. You know, I did some things. This is what I was doing. It's not where I am now.
I think there's a barrier.
I think it's all about timing, you know, because, I mean, if you just move into town, as the example says, and, you know, you see Tracy, and, you know, you might take her out to lunch, and then that night somebody say, yeah, so you took Tracy out to lunch. By the way, you know, she's got like 6 or 7 dudes paying for her, you know, paying to hit it. And then you'd be like, well, I'm gone. But, you know, if nobody ever told you that, and you and Tracy had dated and got engaged, and then it's like, man, you remember, by the way, about 5 years ago, man, Tracy was out there. I mean, I think what the question y'all are asking is all about time. And if it's within the first few months of you meet her, it's like, whoa, she's out here, versus y'all are planning who's coming to the wedding. I mean,
now let me tell you how it happened with me.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, Andrew, hold on just one thing. Hold that. Don't take that anywhere. On that note that you just said that, Rodney, okay, let's say on the same thing, you find out about your spouse through a girlfriend or somebody on Facebook or whatever through the grapevine that there's something that she really liked to do sexually. And it's not getting too explicit into anybody's bedroom, so just keep it general.
Right.
Something that she really liked to do, but it's not happening in your house. I mean, just think about it. Just picture it. You found out that this is something that she really likes to do, but it's just not happening in your house.
From her drunk girlfriend from college or something.
Exactly. Man, you know, and I know things change. People change, but certain things don't change. You see what I'm saying? How do you get down? How do you break that wall down to prevent that from happening? Because if that's something that she likes sexually, she should be sharing it with her husband. And it shouldn't be in the closet of skeletons. And vice versa. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, the clip I played a few weeks back about the lady, I think it was interesting what she said about how when she wasn't married, and she was doing, you know, all the tricks of the trades or whatever. When she got married, there was a hesitation because what she was doing was not within a marriage. So, you know, they had to have the conversation, you know, with her husband and say, hey, you know, I'm your husband. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, any of that because we're married. As the brother said earlier, the marriage bed is undefiled, you know, as long as it's within y'all's boundaries or whatever y'all talk about it. So, you know, I think you have to get around that fact, like you said, Tony, is that, you know, they put that away because that's almost like the bad girl. You know, it's mm-hmm. like I'm gonna put that away because I wasn't living right. I mean, they don't want to reassociate themselves with that mentally because it, and as the lady said, you know, she was like, I thought that I was like, man, you know, I put all that stuff away, and despite it being my husband, despite it being, you know, the marriage bed being under file, she still has some hesitation to go back to that bad girl with her husband.
Exactly. What she wanted to be. She wanted to be a legal bad girl. Legally.
Hmm.
Like we want to be legal bad boys. We want to do stuff. It's legal. It's in the marriage bed. It's all good there. But for some strange reason, we just don't take it to that level. And then we lie there night after night after night complaining that we're not getting these things. But we never strike up the conversation and say, okay, this is what I really want to go down up in this joint. Now, Andrew, go ahead with what you can say.
Oh, what I was saying was how it happened with me was as my wife and I, you know, before she was my wife, we were seriously dating. And
seriously dating?
Know, seriously dating. I mean, you know, you date and then, you know, you get like, you know.
It's a joke. You married her, so y'all was seriously dating.
Yeah, you know. I mean, you know, you date, but, you know.
Yeah.
You get to the point where you date, baby.
Y'all were monogamous.
For sure.
You know, and she said, you know, there's some things about me I got to tell you. You know what I mean? And I said, okay. And she said, I want to tell you some of these things, and and you know, you may not, you know, you may not want to be with me. And, you know, so, I mean, that's how it happened with me. And she really wanted to be able to, because I had opened up with her. I was like, it wasn't no shame in my game. But I think women carry that because of that image, you know, that they're supposed to be. We guys, we know we're dogs, right? Well, maybe not Rodney, but any of the rest of us. me and my boy Tony, we've been out there. Tony, we dogs?
Yeah.
You know, we've been
out.
Some of us don't have those scars, and that's a great thing.
Okay,
you know. I mean, you know, we got scars, man. Us guys have been out there. We got scars. Now, we don't have the pain associated because it's healed. But we got scars. We can point to it. Let me show you what happened to me. And this was the price I had to pay for it.
That's
and
right.
It cost us marriages, messed up kids, all kind of scars that come from this.
But you said the key word, Andrew, and that's, you know, y'all was seriously dating when she said,
right.
By the way, I got something to tell you.
Right.
You know, had she told you that when y'all were just 3 months in, you know, y'all weren't got to the serious, it may have been something different.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's got to be the right time, and you got to feel this person out. And when you, you know, when you want to move to a level of really having an intimate relationship, you know, an intimate relationship, then that's really, you know, that's what it's about.
And here's the.
I want to give a shout out to my boy Bruce on the call.
Bruce,
message.
Yeah, I would say that you know, it's almost like this where. We, on both sides, we don't reveal everything up front, you know, or within that first 2 or 3 months or whatever. So, but when we do finally, you know, break down and, you know, like the brother said, you know, we need to have a conversation. You might want to leave me or you might not want to be with me after we have this conversation. I mean, to me, your relationship is probably progressed and evolved so much that you wouldn't leave. And what it is, it's almost, you know, it's a situation where, of course, you wouldn't want to, you know, tell everybody your life story and your past and your experiences and all that stuff on the first date or the second date or the third date. But, you know, when that stuff comes out, you know, it's positioning, whereas you wouldn't leave. I mean, at that point,
yeah.
You know, as
yeah.
I said,
yeah.
you're ironing out who, you know, who's going to get the most invites to the wedding, you know, so.
Yeah,
well, we hadn't got to that point. Okay, we hadn't got to that point. We weren't in that situation where we were talking marriage and all that. But we were, you know, seriously, you know, learning about each other and really getting to the point of, you know, we weren't engaged yet, but, you know, it was a situation of we were seriously talking about futures.
I think that. Yeah,
that's my point, is that once you get to that point, I mean, it's almost, what I'm saying is that it's almost no turning back at that point. I mean, it's almost like, yes,
you know,
said.
I think once you set the date for the wedding, then there's a whole lot of, it's not going to be turning back.
Exactly.
Okay, but until you actually, you know, one of the craziest things that people will do is get engaged and then go get premarital counseling. That is totally asinine. Okay? Because the reason you want to get premarital counseling is to uncover some things, some of these things that we're talking about that may be deal breakers. But I'm going to tell you what, if you have sent those invitations out and got the caterer and this and that, you're getting married.
Yeah, the ball's already rolling.
You are not backing out of that. But, you know, so you need to get the counseling before you get to the point of, you know, will you marry me? Okay? You know, premarital counseling needs to be a situation that you are exploring the depths of who this person really is, and if the counselors are good, they're pulling this stuff out.
Yeah, but how many of us really, you know, I don't think we grew up in that world. I mean, it's good to know now, but I don't think we really grew up in that world. I think we grew up of... You just made the decision that this is going to be your wife, and you
That's
know
right.
you want this person, and then you did the counseling close to the marriage. Like,
right. But you know what? Luckily, there are some churches, ours included, that are instituting these things before they will set the date to perform a marriage.
Mm.
That they are requiring, and y'all know our church, or if you're in our church, that in our church, you're required to go through the marriage course before they'll set a date. You're required to go through premarital counseling now before they'll set the date to marry you. Because our pastor is sick of the divorces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And back to what Rodney was saying, I think that there's a lot of responsibility with getting your spouse to open up and tell you certain things. And I'll give you an example. You have to be mature enough for your wife to come and tell you an example, like she had an experience with another woman while she was in college. And
wow.
You have to be, and you have to be in a position where you won't say, okay, well, can we try it now, since I know that you roll like that. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Some guys be like, well, can I bring this coworker home? And, you know, be, no, that wasn't an invitation. You know what I'm saying? That was
just, wait a minute. We can back that up.
Yeah, but I think that some of the times they don't think that we can handle certain things. That's why we don't know. And then we will never know that there are certain things that they like to do.
Would that actually be a deal breaker for anybody on this call?
No.
I think it would be worse if you found out. It was multiple guys at the same time.
Yeah.
Would that be
a deal breaker? If you found out your woman was having trains run on her, would that be a deal breaker?
That might be, because Andrew, you just said we've been out there.
Oh, man.
Andrew.
Yeah.
You just said that we've been out there. Me, you, Tone, majority of us been out there. So
Rodney,
we know how them sessions go.
What Patrice is saying is that somewhere out there is a Mrs. Choo Choo train.
That's right. I don't know if any of y'all guys have been with more than one woman at a time. Okay. And I'm not going to divulge everything.
We know how them sessions go.
You know, some of us have had crazy fantasies.
Sure.
Okay? And some of us have had crazy fantasies come true.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being delicate about this, right, Tony?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's women that have crazy fantasies. See, we don't think about it that way.
No.
Right.
Okay. And it got real quiet when I said that. And mm-hmm. some of our wives have had crazy fantasies come true.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if your wife
keep them to yourself,
those crazy fantasies come true, is that a problem for you?
If it has to do with another man, keep it to yourself.
What if it's just one man?
Don't make no difference. Keep it to yourself.
So you don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
You know, I had this fantasy where a dude tied me up like an eagle and put handcuffs on me. And you don't want to know.
You don't want to know?
I'm with Patrice on that one.
Okay. But listen, fellas, now. That may be detrimental and you just don't know it.
Right.
Because that might be that thing that opens doors.
No. Well, you just have to rephrase it. You know, you got to come at me like,
You can't handle the rephrase because you think she just made it up yesterday. You think she just did it last weekend.
That's all right. If she made it up, I feel better.
Okay, if she was with a couple of other women, but not a couple of other dudes.
Nah, I can't handle that, man.
But you can handle a couple other women.
I can't handle that. Not now. If you would have called me in my 20s,
Well, I could have known. I mean, if she sat down and before y'all got married, she said, "Well, you know, I got to be straight up with you, P-Town." She said, "You know, I slung it with a couple of women."
Ooh. Let's make it happen.
I think I just got a flat out ask the question. Do you like handcuffs? Do you like this? Do you like that? As opposed to asking, you know, can you tell me if you ever had some guy do this to you and do that to you? I don't think I really need that image.
But no, and that's the point that we're making. That's right. That's what we want to know. But how do you get that information without getting the details? So the information
how much detail are we really talking about?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. Just like you said, you want to ask the question. You got to, but there's something that has to prompt you to ask the question. Because if you don't know, you don't know.
But it sounds like some of us don't want to know the answer.
I don't. I mean, I don't really know. I don't want to know all the dudes you've been with and what y'all did. I don't really need to rehash all of that, to be
especially
honest.
Especially this late in the game, right, Ryan?
Right. I think if I want to do something, I think I'm going to try it. If it's going to be a way, absolutely not, then I know my boundary.
Rodney, that would mess up the pretty,
but
Rodney, that would mess up the pretty picture that you painted in your mind up to this point.
Right. Because my woman is pure.
Why would it mess you up if she was with dudes and it wouldn't mess you up if she was with women?
I mean, it would mess you up both ways. I mean, it would. I mean,
right,
it really would.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, to state the obvious sometimes is not a good thing. We all know, well, most of us know that we are not the first man in our women's lives.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to revisit it.
Nope.
But it is the obvious.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? But all I'm saying is that there's something back there that may help us move forward that we don't know about, that we might need to know about. However they water it down, whatever the case may be, but there's something that happened that they really liked that we know nothing about, because we know that we have that thing that they know nothing about.
So how do we get to that?
That's the $64 million question. Violence.
Mm. You got me there, man.
Give it to me one more time, Tony.
Okay. We have something in our past as men that really made that big toe turn sideways that someone other than our wife has done. And it's hard to forget that. We may have three or four of those, or six or seven of those experiences, right? And we agree that we all may have that, something that we have. Maybe you call it a skeleton or whatever the case may be, but something that we really enjoyed sexually or intimately or whatever the case may be, that's not being done in the home front, okay? Now, let's just say the tables were turned and your wife has the same pocket of information that's not being shared in the home front. How do we get that out of them? Because we're holding back. And just here's a prime example. Let's just say one day you was dating some chick and you did it in an elevator and it was off the chain. And every time you get in the elevator, you're thinking, remember that Sally in that elevator? I really would like to do that elevator thing again. But you're not with Sally no more. Now you're married with kids. How do you have the elevator conversation with your wife?
I think it's probably at a point then, you know, that's a tough one because you haven't divulged things up front.
Yeah, but guess what? You didn't have to. You didn't really have to because it was before her.
You can't do the elevator thing in 2011 because they got cameras in the elevator.
But in some cases, that's what turned people on.
Yeah,
people having other people watch out the
cameras.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you a real life situation.
Well, there's a lot of exhibitionists out there, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a real life situation a friend and I have that you know, he was hitting on the other side, which hit her. And
sword fight.
He was right. Touch back. And you know, he'd been fighting that thing for many years, but he kept, you know, dipping back and tipping back. And hey, you know, we all got our issues, and that was just happened to be his issue.
Sure.
And one day he told us, my wife and I, that he was getting engaged. And I was like, to a woman? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, I know you told her, you know, where you've been, right? You know, he's like, yeah, I told her where I've been. I was like, oh, okay, because, you know, you really need to tell her where you've been. I mean, you know, there's some things you need to tell somebody.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And that's one of those things you need to tell somebody, okay? And now, I don't need to spell it out anymore than what I'm saying, right, guys?
Exactly.
You
know,
okay.
We understand what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, he never told her that, and he has been in this battle. And if any of y'all have had a battle with something in your life that is hard to get through, this, you know, he kept, you know, fighting this and fighting this and fighting this. And you know, I mean, they were married for 6 months and only had sex twice. And she didn't know, you know, what was going on. Come to find out, he never divulged to her. Okay?
Mm.
Marriage lasted about a year, you know what I'm saying? And she couldn't even understand until, you know, until they were splitting up, that this was the real issue, you know.
And there was nothing she could do about it.
Nothing she could do about it. And it hurt us because she's coming to us asking us, you know, I'm getting these funny feelings about him.
And you already know.
And I'm like, he didn't tell you? This is what I said to myself. And I'm like, I can't believe he didn't tell her. He told me he divulged. I mean, this is a close friend of mine. I mean, I know, you know,
Yeah, back to the topic.
Sex, lies, and marriage.
Yeah, he had sex with a man, told lies, ruined the marriage. But I want to get back to Tony's question, too, about, you know, if the wife has, you know, this is going to burst y'all's bubble at 10:51 in the evening. But what if, you know, as Tony says, she has that information, you know, skeleton in the closet when she was a bad girl, you know, messing with Craig or whoever it was, and she hasn't divulged that information to you because she knows that you're not capable of pulling off what Craig pulled off.
Oh, wow.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's why you want to keep it to yourself.
I didn't bring that up because, you're not ready. You ain't ready.
I done told you to keep it to yourself.
Are you, woo.
Tony didn't have that in his notes.
I got something worse than that, money. I mean, I got fake orgasms in my notes.
Oh.
Yeah, and not saying nothing just to keep you thinking that you're doing a good job. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, because things happen.
Oh,
and sometimes,
man,
they take one for the team.
Mm.
You
but
see
you know
saying?
What? That's that lady who is not up front with you. That's the lady that's just keeping everything in closure and not telling you the real story.
Yeah.
Yeah, but would you want to know that? Would you want to know that? You know, talk about, yeah, you know, let's open it up. You know, tell me, you know, what are your darkest, deepest fantasies?
Mm-hmm.
She said, yeah, I've got this fantasy that me and Craig used to do, but you're not capable of hitting that spot. So.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But see,
you gotta get it though. I mean, that's that male ego. You know, that male ego is the most sensitive, you know, part of a man's body. You know, he can be strong all over, but you hit that ego, you bruise that ego, he might can't get it up no more.
Yeah, you might crush his entire foundation.
Yeah. See, women know that, so they're not going to tell you the truth anyway. Women are always going to lie about sex.
But
they're
going to
always lie about their partners, how many partners they've been with.
Yeah, because check it, just to flip it, you know, like the host has been doing all night, you know, what if she's got that man in her past that was, you know, turning her toes that
yep.
you ain't never turned before.
Yep. See, now it comes back to my question. Isn't that certain information that you might need?
Well,
because there's
okay,
something,
if you
listen,
know.
There's something that he did that kept that phone ringing. He wasn't marriage material because you got the ring, you got the security. You got the better job, you got the nicer car, whatever it is. Or, look, it could be, you know, you look better in the family photos than him. I mean, it is what it is. There's different reasons. You see what I'm saying? But there is information that may be detrimental that you might need to know.
But, okay, so, either way you look at it, whether it's from our side or their side, you know, something that they used to do or someone used to do to curl the toes, I think the obvious solution is try it or say you want to try it. If you get a response of a rejection, you obviously know that that's not going to fly with this other
yeah.
individual, you know,
sure.
on either side of the table. And so if that's not going to fly, what's the option? I mean, what then? Do you continue the conversation and say, well, to, I think it was Rodney's point, this is what I would like to do because Craig did this or whatever. However, you're not capable? Do you really go that far in the conversation?
Rodney, check it, Rodney.
Let me finish this thought.
Go ahead.
So do you, you know, finish that conversation by saying, well, you know, because Sally, but you're not capable of doing what Sally did, or do you drop it all together and find something else that's going to do your toes?
We're riding to check it. What would be worse if y'all had a conversation and, you know, she was like, well, I was thinking you really couldn't, you know, hit, you know, get that spot like Craig, but we can try it. And then after you're done, she's like, see, I told you, get off. I mean, what is worse if she, you know, if she knew, she knows your abilities and she knows Craig's abilities, you know, and I mean, what if she was just like, see, I didn't want to bruise your ego, bro, you know, but you wanted to go there, so I told you couldn't hit that spot.
Well, this is what I'm saying. So this is what I'm saying. I don't want to know. Right? Up front, I don't want to know. I want to know if you want to try something new, but I don't need to know another brother did this better than I did.
There you
no,
go.
You don't need to know all that.
There you go.
But listen.
But that's the risk you run, don't you?
Absolutely. You look for something,
you
you're bound to find it.
Yep,
you
that's
do.
Right.
You do. So it's a tightrope. It's
yep.
a very thin line.
Yep.
You would deal with Coos. You wouldn't say, you know, such and such did this, and I don't think you got the ability. I mean, you coming at somebody wrong. You know, you can say, well, let's try this or let's try that, but you don't have to say, well, you know.
Yeah.
But even if you did that, wouldn't you think, even like, wondering in the back of your mind, hey, wonder if she's done this before.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't need to hear, you know, Joe ripped it out the frame.
Right. And I mean, if I'm making love to my wife, I don't need to know. My mind isn't necessarily gone. I don't know about everybody else, but my mind isn't going, huh, I wonder if she did this with someone else.
She's doing it with me.
Right.
No.
But check it. Wouldn't you want to know how you stacked up? You know, if she said, you know, me and Craig, would you go back, honey, how'd I do? I mean,
No.
I think it's a personal thing you got to work on.
Yeah, no, I want to know. See, that's where it gets too much information. All I want to know is, what are the things that really turn you on that I don't know about?
How many of you guys actually married the best sex you ever had?
I did not. I'll be honest, I did not.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think most of us married the best sex we ever had.
But I think it goes back to what I said earlier, fellas.
How we stacked up, they probably didn't marry the best sex they ever had.
Exactly. But it goes back to what I said earlier about how I think Tony even brought it up. She's a great mother. She's a great homemaker. I mean, she's a great it's other things other than sex.
Absolutely.
That you know,
you don't marry for sex.
Exactly.
You just don't marry for sex.
And talk.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that if she were to, you know, just pull out the skeletons, I mean, you'd be kind of apprehensive. You'd be like, I thought this was my, you know, great mother and mother of my kids and great wife. I mean, you'd be kind of apprehensive even though you say now, like, yeah, you know, I want to, just like Tracy, you know, she had me in the back of the car. I mean, whatever. It's like, wait a minute.
Hey, let's be honest. If we marry for sex, some of us be marrying some ugly women, have some ugly kids walking around here.
Yeah. Cause look, some of the ugliest, big, moodiest ones.
Wow. Wow.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. Them paper bag moments, y'all know.
Wow.
Everybody remember.
I can't believe you took it there. I cannot believe you just took it there.
Hey, I had to. Everybody been young and everybody been like, man, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Let me make this. I know who I can call.
Yeah, and it's always on. The light's always on.
Light's always on.
Mm-hmm. And you ain't got to ask for nothing. It's automatic.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't take them outside. That's the only thing.
Just think of it. You know when you have something good, because even when you were single, you always knew you were guaranteed at any time of the night, morning.
Yeah.
God, she looked good. But you knew if you weren't doing it right, because you make that call at 11 and say, I'm going to come through at 2, and they'd be like, no, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't waking up for you, then you know you ain't done your thing with that gal.
Wow. You just said something, and I don't even know if you realize how relevant the statement that you just made is relevant to marriage.
I don't know. I'm serious.
If you can flip that whole thing around, and we coming in from work, 12 o'clock, I get a little something, and they ain't waking up because they tired. They got to go to work the next day. Think about it. Like Andrew said earlier, either they're all right with it or they love it.
Yeah.
And they love it, they're going to get up.
They're going to get up.
All right with it, they got to go to work the next day. I'm not saying that to mean anything, you know. That means, you know.
You might be right.
Clean it up.
I think you're
clean
right.
It up.
I'm just saying, you know.
But you may be right.
But you may be right. That's the thing. In combination with what everybody said, even what Rodney said about Tyrone, you know what I'm saying, making them go woo, 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 you know, and, you know.
Hey,
I'm not saying no more because I'm. You know.
The tape's still rolling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh man, good words.
Yeah.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead because I think we all those pieces right now.
No, we're just waiting for you to stop the tape.
Right. Oh, this thing gonna run, brother. This thing gonna run. I will tell you what happened to me though when I was dating my wife, and we went to her restaurant. She's got this restaurant, favorite restaurant, and we're sitting there. No, wait a minute. Hold on a second. We're sitting at the restaurant, and we're having this intimate conversation. And like halfway through the conversation, she says, I hope you don't think you're going to get some tonight.
Wow.
Shut the whole feeling down right there.
But it didn't. That's the thing. It didn't. It turned me on.
It made you bring your game.
I was like, man, that's all right. She's talking about it even indirectly, but the conversation is there.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying? To me, that was a little erotic.
So you let me know. I hope you ain't. That means the possibility, it might not be tonight, but the possibility is there.
It was
on.
The conversation
was already there. It was like, oh.
You were in it to win it.
I was in it to win it at that point. At that point, it was game on.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? And that's what we like. We like that game on.
Mm-hmm. They don't realize being with a professional.
Yeah, that's right. That was a professional move for me.
That goes back to what I said earlier. You know, about you know how we really don't want the easy. I mean, just like you said, Tony, that turned you on.
That turned me on.
I mean, that she wasn't, you know, after we're done, you can tie me up, you know, do whatever you want. You'd have been like, oh, come on. Really. Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that we like the chase. We like the challenge, even in marriage.
Yep.
You know, to a certain extent, brethren, but you know, to a certain extent, we don't want them just to, all right, you want it, here you go. You know, you can have it anytime you want. I mean, you liked it a little, you know, almost like when you were dating. You had to, you know, put in a little work. You know, that's why I say within reason. Within reason.
Within reason.
Within reason. So I got one, fellas. I mean, what is it after the morning after? You know, let's say
the wife did ask
that question if you want to. You know, let's try something new.
Mm-hmm.
And you like, hold on now, hold on. It's a little too freaky here. This is borderline. Wait a minute. But the next morning, you were like, can we do that again? Can we keep that in our routine? Can we put that in rotation? And what?
I think that's the way to really find out what they want and them to find out what you want, as opposed to kind of asking a question. What did you and Craig do when y'all was together?
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right.
Great
conclusion.
That's what happened with my last one. She kept asking questions about what me and my ex used to do.
Oh, man.
and you know what I'm saying? I'm like, you setting me up for failure, because I know where it's going to lead to, because, you know, you're a very mouthy person, number one, so. And she kept asking me. And I'm like, so I'm like, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. And so I told her how I used to get down, you know what I'm saying, with my ex. And she got jealous about it. So then, like, every time we did have sex, it was like, you know.
Competition.
Why?
You
ask for it, this is what you got.
Yeah, what do you mean, why? I'm not mad if you're trying to impress me sexually. Keep it going.
Right. If she gonna sit there and ask me about my ex, then my suspicion is gonna be, what, do you want her? You know, I'm here. Yeah, I keep asking questions about how they did things.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So yeah, Rodney, I think you just put the whole thing to sleep on how to get that information from them without getting information that we can't handle.
Yep.
You know, but I think that the homework assignment should be to find out if there's any information that we don't know about that we might need to know about, and then we need to vice versa divulge some information too, I think. And I think that'll just be healthy, because we all talk about, yeah, we should have done it before, but maybe it was awkward to talk about certain things that's happened that really turned us out sexually, you know, before we got married.
Yeah,
so,
to build that communication.
Yeah, and some of us missed it, you know, but I think it's never too late to sit down and say, okay, well, and just use this form. You know, guess what we talked about last night? Now let me ask you a question. And just break it down like that.
Now I just want to say this, fellas. Now, I done some crazy things when I host this show, but I ain't never giving y'all homework assignment.
You know what? But I really like that. And when he said it, I was like, you know what? That's not a bad thing to start doing on the call. And then coming back and talking about it.
I love it.
And talking about it maybe later and find out how certain things work in different environments, different households.
But Rodney, that's how the whole thing was supposed to work anyway. You know, you're supposed to go and talk to your wife about, hey, we talked with this on the, you know, the brothers. We're just mixing it up. And what do you think about this, honey? You know, I mean, that was the whole point.
That was the whole point. Y'all have given me homework assignments many a Tuesday. And didn't know it.
Just informal assignment.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
This one, they got it, wrote it on the chalkboard. Like, look, next time y'all come, make sure you do this, this, and this. Good words.
Yeah. Good words. All right, y'all want to open mic?
Yeah,
hold on a second. Uh-oh.